Next on BYUSN, the Big 12 basketball schedule matrix is out for the Cougars. Now we know who's coming to Provo and where BYU is only playing on the road. We'll tell you what stands out to us. And we'll bring in Jonathan Tavernari to discuss the schedule and the matrix, what he likes and one thing he'd change about the schedule.
What are the top five games we're looking forward to the most on the men's basketball schedule? We'll tell you in today's top five. And we are in the championship matchup of the best BYU quarterback bracket. Who is joining Ty Detmer in the final? Steve Young or Jim McMahon?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, June 27th. I am Spencer Linton alongside EA Sports Team Evaluator Jerem Jordan. You carry a lot of titles.
It's in the game, dog. Tomorrow, EA Sports is going to release the team rankings for all the teams. So in the new college football game. Closest to the pin, what will BYU's overall ranking be?
74.
I was going to say 75. So, yeah, somewhere right there. And at the end of the season, let's hope it's 83.
Come on!
Yeah, that's the hope.
And it's supposedly supposed to sync up. There is a function that they were discussing. I don't know if it actually made it into the game, but depending on how the team plays, then it can
adjust
change
mid-season?
The rating of said team.
Interesting.
They do it with Madden, and they've done it for several years with Madden, but I don't know
like
if that function
during
will.
During the season, player yes. and team ratings
yes.
are adjusted? Wow. So they actually, those guys actually have something to do during the season. That's what you just told me. Because if they put out the game and they just put their feet up, what are they doing?
Yo, I'm playing in the Big 12 championship game. I'm going to need you to, like, step it up so that your rating is better in the game.
As if the money and betting on college sports weren't enough. Now we have the rating. So, yeah, we'll see what BYU is tomorrow, man.
They're professional athletes now. So it's just like Madden in a way.
Well, mostly. They still have to go to class. At what point will they not have
to? It's a little different, yeah.
Will they not have to at some point? You just rep the school without the classes? I think that may happen in the future in college.
I don't know. Well, can you be enrolled in a university and play for a team if you don't go to class?
At some point, it may just not matter. Like, it'll just be the team that reps your school, but you're not actually a student there. That's what I'm saying. Like,
wow.
To rule out anything would be foolish at this point because things have changed so quickly. We'll see. I'm talking like in 10 or 20 years, it's going to be vastly different. We'll laugh at how, we thought it was this, and then it became the. We'll see.
Think about where college sports were 10 years ago.
Well, like G League teams. Yeah, like G League teams.
Think about where college sports were in 2014.
They're pro, but they're not in the NBA. But they're out of high school just waiting that 1 year to get drafted last night, right? They're not in class.
Was the first year of the college football playoff 2015?
I thought it was 14.
It was 14. Okay, so.
Ohio State won that one.
It was 1 year into the college football playoff 10 years ago. And then the last decade has just been wild.
You think it's going to change a lot this year. 12-team playoff, 20-team Big 12, the name of the league will change. That's just the beginning.
All right. If you want your team evaluated in EA Sports, Jerem will give you the unofficial mark.
Let me know. I'm just, about to have a lot of time.
Send him a post on X. Send him a DM, Instagram, X, whatever you like. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Kansas, Houston, and Baylor are all top five teams. Iowa State is right behind those teams. Texas Tech looks tough.
Cincinnati's had a great offseason. It is a gauntlet, and every game is going to be difficult, and every game is going to be a challenge.
What would you evaluate BYU basketball if EA Sports made a college basketball game right now? Jerem, I'd
Super
put them
Neato.
High 80s, maybe 90.
They used to have college basketball games.
Why not bring that back?
I don't think they have it anymore.
Let's make that change as well.
They don't want to pay all the players.
Yeah, there aren't as many basketball players, but maybe that price would be higher. A conversation for another day, but I bring up basketball and ratings because 1 hour ago, the Big 12 announced the scheduling matrix for the 2024-2025 basketball season. All of you are taking the blue pill by nature. No one on this program or in the BYU fan base takes the red pill.
The Matrix had just come out prior to my mission, and so one of my trainers said, I can teach you how to be a district leader or an AP. And I said, neither. What is this? I didn't ask for this.
I'll take the yellow pill.
Elder Mariano, who was known as Elder Ricky Martin because he had danced in a talent show in the mission.
And that's why
they're like, you're training as Elder Hiki Marching? I was like, what? I don't know what's going on here.
The relationships right that shape our lives. Shout out to Elder Ricky Martin. Anyway, BYU basketball found out their schedule, Jerem, who they're going to have at home and on the road, and who BYU will play both at home and on the road. We'll find out the dates of said games later this summer. But here are the teams that BYU will take on this season. First, the home and road squads. Arizona, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, and West Virginia.
Wait, Utah's in the league?
Twice. Those are the home and road games. So that makes up 10 of the games. Just home. Listen to this. You only play them once. You get them in the Marriott Center. Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech.
Nice.
Like that little vengeance opportunity in Provo against Texas Tech. Now, the just road opponents, Jerem, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, that's tough, TCU, and UCF.
Okay.
20 games for BYU basketball in the Big 12.
10 home, 10 road.
How fantastic is this? What's the best thing about BYU's Big 12 schedule with the newly released matrix?
Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, Arizona at home. That is awesome. I'm so excited for a spectacular home schedule. You rewind it just a couple of years ago, we were getting excited about San Francisco at home at times. Now, this is a very different schedule. Pretty cool. I'm especially excited about Kansas at home. That's going to be awesome. Obviously, Arizona is a premier program in college basketball, welcoming them to the Marriott Center. Old WAC foes back in the 60s and whatnot. It's going to be great, man. And Baylor is very improved. I'm very excited about them. So, yeah, Texas Tech, like you mentioned, a little revenge. Oklahoma State at home, had that last year. That was a crazy game. Kansas State, there was some little vitriol there. Jerome Tang and Mark Pope had some interesting comments off-season, in-season games and whatnot.
Is Quez Glover going to play against BYU at some point?
I thought he jumped in the portal. I don't even know if he's at Kansas State anymore.
It's a legitimate question. I'll look that up. I don't know.
But, yeah, just you look at – we know it's tough. It's going to be fun. But it's fun to have this 20-team version – or, sorry, how many – 16 teams with 20 games. It's going to be awesome, man. There's some great games there.
There are two things that immediately stood out, and I'll call them the best things. And it's similar to what you first presented, but you will have three top 10 teams, we think, playing in the Marriott Center.
There will be four, Spence, because at some point BYU will be one of them. Hey!
Let me rephrase. Three BYU opponents that are in the top 10.
There you go.
Playing in the Marriott Center. Kansas, Baylor, and Arizona, in large part, are all projected preseason top 10 teams.
Yes.
Will they all be in the top 10 at the time of the game? I don't know. But the idea that you could have three on your home floor in the same season is unbelievable. You think football is a tough ticket? Basketball is going to be like an impossible ticket for BYU fans.
But the gym's so big.
Oh, man. And it's great. It's good. It's fantastic that it's a tough ticket. BYU also, the number two thing I love, they only play four of the projected top five Big 12 teams in league once.
That's favorable.
And that's specifically Kansas, Baylor, Iowa State, and Houston. Like, you only have one game against those four teams.
Last year, BYU benefited from what ESPN BPI at one point told us was the lowest rated schedule, the easiest schedule. That to some degree, that's why BYU had the success they did. If you had to play Kansas twice, Houston twice, a bunch of teams twice, who knows, right?
Yeah, granted, the strength of schedule is still like 30 out of 360
right.
teams.
But I'm talking relative to the league.
But to the league, it was one of the weaker schedules.
It's not BYU's choice or option to play certain teams. Now, Kansas in the Marriott Center, you like your chances since you got them on the road and so on and so forth. But like Houston on the road would have been a tough game. It was tough enough to lose a close one at home.
Well, BYU gets that this year.
It looks to be favorable as a Big 12 basketball schedule can be.
You have to play Arizona twice, so you still have six games against preseason top 10 teams.
But you could have had 10. You weren't likely to have 10.
Eight or nine or 10. Yeah. You only play six. Four of the top five teams in the league, you only play them once.
Yeah, so the minimum would have been five. That you only played those teams once?
That is favorable, and I like that. The schedule's still going to be ridiculously tough.
Let's talk about a tough portion of this, Spence. There's some real travel for BYU here. So I looked up as the crow flies. Someone tweeted me, have you followed how a crow flies before? No. But as the phrase goes, I looked up as the crow flies to just Provo to that opposing town for the 10 road games. 9,273 miles. BYU's putting in some miles.
They did it to a degree last year. They played at UCF. They played at West Virginia. And they didn't – they played at Iowa State, but they didn't play at Cincinnati.
So – in this road, you are going to Colorado. That's not far. Houston, Iowa State, TCU, UCF again. But home and road, you're playing Cincinnati and West Virginia. So Gregor Bell tweeted the following. This is good info. BYU and Utah are the only two of the five mountain time zone teams, Colorado, the two Arizonas, that will visit all three eastern time zones teams. Arizona, Arizona State visit two. Colorado only visits one. All three eastern time zone teams visit three of the five mountain time zone teams. So they mentioned, hey, geography is one of the factors. It's like, is it for these two?
Well, isn't it the All-State Conference? Isn't it the All-State Conference? Well,
where's the Pacific time?
The All-State Big 12.
Where are they at? Where's Hawaii? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of travel for BYU. But you knew that would be the case. I do like, obviously, playing Utah twice. Wanted that. Excited about that. That's in women's
the
as well.
Proximity
which we'll
of Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah, home and road is good.
Is BYU going to play Colorado in sports? No football game with Colorado this year. Only twice in the first 4 years, by the way. 25 in Provo, 27 in Boulder. One game this year. I'm a little weirded out that the next closest opponent to BYU besides Utah is barely on BYU's football and men's basketball schedules. I think that's kind of odd. But hopefully we'll see a little more in men's hoops there. Yeah, by the way, the Jazz drafted Cody Williams from Colorado last night, notably, with the 10th pick. So yeah. It's pretty good. Not much to complain about here. You got to go and win a bunch of games, but you have a spectacular home schedule. The whole schedule is awesome. I like the 20 games thing.
Yeah.
I just think it just helps your net out a ton. People kind of attack the Big 12 and, oh, they kind of manipulated the schedule to do this. There's just a lot of good teams in this league. I'm not exactly sure what you're getting at, but get in the NCAA tournament, win a game or two, let's go.
BYU fans would have been thrilled, even 4 or 5 years ago, to have one of these top 10 teams at some point in the Marriott Center. One!
In non-con, adding to Gonzaga, St. Mary's.
Just give me one, right?
Yeah.
But now you have three.
And that's preseason. Let's get in season and see what happens.
Texas Tech is supposed to be really
good.
What
if TCU is spectacular or something?
As you mentioned, it's supposed to take a massive step
forward. Cincinnati is supposed to be good. Playing them twice, that's going to be a tough road game. That's it. Yeah.
This is pretty
get you some Skyline chili, dog.
Cool. Yeah. Just, again, perspective. Like, even having one of these teams 5 years ago playing in the Marriott Center, it's like, oh, man, circle that game. Cannot wait for that.
Well, because they don't want to come here. In
now they have to come to
and
wow, the Big 12 in basketball, the inclusion there is – like my favorite thing.
Of all the Big 12 things, is men's basketball. Yeah, I think so. And we're feeling that way because we're coming off a good season.
The energy involved in those games last year was off the charts.
And BYU could meet it and win. We were surprised by that, right? Yes. It was like, whoa, we just beat Texas and Baylor and Iowa State? What's going on? This is great.
I'm already starting to
piece together.
Competing
with Houston?
Like, I'm looking at the schedules here and I'm thinking, okay, what would be a good record in 20 games against this group?
10-10.
I said 11-9.
Early thought, like, 10-10.
Like to finish over 500 would be something special.
Right. And if you can somehow go 12-8, you're like a four seed or five, which is where I'm hoping BYU is 4 or 5.
10-10, 11-9, we're not far off.
I would take 10-10, though, just because the league's going to be improved. I've followed the transfer portal and who's gotten what players and whatnot. Bro, Baylor got way better. Like, Iowa State is as good or better.
Yeah.
Houston is going to be really good again. Arizona's going to be awesome. And West Virginia's interesting. They lost some transfers, new head coach.
Yeah.
With DeVries, brought in his kid
out.
From Drake, who I saw in person. It was the game after BYU's game in Omaha in the NCAA tourney. So, I like this. I do wish we had a little more Colorado on there in football and men's basketball. Just like one combined game in football and men's basketball.
Yeah.
I would have liked two. In some manner, but all good. And, yeah, of course, playing Utah twice is going to be great. That better be two wins, by the way, of the 10, 11, or 12.
Jarrett, I'm telling you.
Utah beat BYU last year, but you've got to win that game this year twice.
The key is to go 7-3 at home and 4-6 on the road.
Ooh, 4-6 on the road.
Because on the road, you still play a UCF team that I think will be beatable, and you play at Utah and at West Virginia and at Arizona State.
You got to get four, yeah.
7-3 at home, 4-6 on the road. That'll give you 11-9.
7 wins out of Arizona, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, West Virginia, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Those are spectacular wins. Like, those are some really good wins.
Protect your home floor.
I can't wait for pre-post games and those guys. I can't wait, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. We love it, obviously. We love the schedule matrix. We love how it shook out for BYU.
I love the movie, The Matrix.
If you could change anything about it, what would it be?
Little too much travel for BYU. Maybe give me Colorado instead of a second trip to Cincinnati or West Virginia. I'm glad there's not 2 UCF, by the way.
Yes.
That was a lot last year. Also, those games were terrible. Like, UCF style of play is horrendous.
When BYU was up by 17 with, like, 2 minutes to go, and then all of a sudden it was a one-point game?
I don't have fun watching UCF play men's basketball. I'm sorry. Like, chuck and duck with minimal quality shooting. Like, a million fouls. It was not fun. The game in Provo was terrible. So, give me one less West Virginia or Cincinnati game. Cincinnati, because they're pretty good. And give me maybe a second Colorado game.
So, I wouldn't change much. But specifically, I liked the rivalry with Iowa State. I wanted a home and road again with Iowa State.
Those are good games.
I like that fan base. I think they're hilarious. They are like rampant.
Yeah.
And how they follow their team.
I respect their fan base.
Yes.
Well. Yeah.
So I would have loved that to continue. Home and road with Iowa State instead of Arizona State. Like, I don't need BYU to play Arizona State twice. Like, play them on the road.
I do for
wins.
Also, we got to get after him after the James Harden Charles Abuo game.
Okay.
There's a little history there, dog.
Whatever. BYU only played.
And beat him last year, by the way, in Vegas.
Listen, BYU fans are going to pack that place. Like, it might be more BYU fans than Arizona State fans at that basketball.
We took your hockey team, and we're going to take a road win in Tempe.
So that's what I'm saying. Give me just a road. Because the home win, it's going to be a quad 3, most likely. But a road win might be a quad 2.
Maybe.
And then bring in Iowa State, just because I want that rivalry. But maybe that's a little bit too tough. We'll see. Then you're adding another top 10 game.
Is Bobby Hurley the coach?
He's still there.
Nice. I loved Bobby Hurley as a kid.
He's still there. Our question of the day. What do you think is the best thing about the BYU men's basketball Big 12 schedule? We don't know dates, but we do know opponents and the home and road breakdown.
By the way, going into last year, BYU did not have a lot of linear TV games. They had a ton of ESPN+. Bank on a lot of TV games because of how BYU played last year and the hype going into this year. There will be fewer ESPN+ games, in my opinion.
The Cougars are a commodity in the Big 12. No doubt about it. Chris Manning on X answers the question. Getting Kansas and Baylor at home is the best thing.
Bro.
Chance for wins against top 10 teams without a return loss at their place. So Kansas has to sit on the home loss to BYU for a little while longer.
What if BYU gets a 2-game win streak versus Kansas? Back to back.
The opportunity is there because they won at Fog Allen last year.
And you could do that with Baylor as well because you have the one-off. You lost that game at Baylor in Waco. That was the conference opening game in the new gym, right? And then you got them later in Provo. That was a huge win.
# camera angles. Go Baylor.
Oh my gosh.
Andrew Smith.
I'm going to wear the cone of shame when I watch that just so I make sure my neck's up high enough.
I love watching a game from directly above and from like 4 square miles away.
Who did that? Come on. Merritt Center's high too, but it's not that high. Jeez.
Andrew Smith on Instagram answers. I was waiting for this. Best thing, Kansas at home. And bottom-dwelling Utah twice.
Listen, got to beat them. They beat BYU last year.
They
like,
did.
I know we can dog
they
on that,
did.
But they beat BYU last year. There's some revenge there.
There are several little bits of revenge possible for BYU.
Burgess Cada storyline. Like, there's some Cougs on that side.
Cincinnati is going to be in Provo again. Like, BYU lost their Big 12 opener to Cincinnati.
More on that later.
Lost to Texas Tech twice. And they lost to Utah last year. So, yeah, like, the revenge tour is out there for BYU.
Was Tech twice? The one on the road, right?
And the tournament.
Oh, and the tournament. I forgot about the tournament.
Yeah.
I was just thinking regular season.
We thought it was all like, oh, man, they want Texas Tech.
In Provo, 2 losses last year. Yeah, that's a great point.
Let's go.
Yep.
And make sure you stick around because BYU women's basketball received their schedule matrix as well. We'll take a look at what the women will face and what we like most about that schedule.
Okay, as we celebrate the 100th season of BYU football, BYU football back to the 80s. Part 1, we're going to cover 1980 to 1983 with Jim McMahon and Steve Young. Coming up tomorrow at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
In roughly 2 minutes, Jonathan Tavernario will join us to discuss his thoughts on the new Big 12 schedule matrix. How many wins does he see for BYU when they take on 20 Big 12 opponents? This is BYUSN.
Finds Saunders. Uses it to find Nell for three.
Dallin Hall gets inside.
The lob, Traore!
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. We like this man, our next guest, because he has strong opinions. And
Okada.
What better person to break down the schedule with those strong opinions than Jonathan Tavernari, who is back on BYUSN. JT, how are you this morning?
Strong opinions and handsome. My mom and my wife keep telling me that, and you guys got to add that as well. So I would appreciate it.
Okay. You saw the schedule matrix, 20 games for BYU men's hoops. You know the road opponents, the home opponents, and then who BYU will face at home and road. What's the best thing that immediately jumped out to you?
That Kevin Young is going to go 20-0 in Big 12 conference.
Let's send you some goggles, baby.
Let's just cool down with the fire and just say they're going to go 20-0 in conference, right? Because the excitement is kind of cooling down a little bit. No, I actually, once I got the schedule this morning, I was prepping for this. I was taking notes here, and I kind of felt like that meme with the wall full of stuff and you trying to explain. I will say this. I was thinking back of all of the conversations that you guys had on the show last year. I think back, Jerem, to where you keep saying, if we win 10 games on non-conference schedule, we got a chance. We got a chance. Spencer kept going, hey, I think if we win 9-10 games, we got a chance. And so it's interesting from the previous years how, because of strength of schedule, because of the analytics, how much emphasis you have to put on non-conference and then conference, and also understand Q1, Q2, and so on. I think that, you know, my hope is that the schedule that the BYU is probably going to be somewhere in, you know, the 21, 22 wins overall. I know that the schedule is not out yet. Jerem, you put a tweet a while ago about the 7 non-conference schedules that they're going on right now. But we're waiting for some final numbers. But I think, you know, Big 12, that's what we're focusing on today. I have my breakdowns here. I would love to hear from you guys, however you want me to share, but I'm hopeful that we're going to go 14-6 in the Big 12.
Whoa!
But my being realistic, I think we're going to probably be about 12-8 and 13-7.
Oh, we're talking, that's like top 4 finish out of 16 teams, JT.
12-8 would be very good. I think you're top 6. Yeah.
So here's what I have in the way that, you know, again, you know, being inside the honeycomb, kind of getting something so I could prepare for this. Looking at just the home games, I don't know if you guys can break down the graph like that. Somebody in the control room, aside from me.
Oh, they're scrambling right now.
Perfect. But like, if just the home games, right? The ones that we don't have a home and away, but just the home games, I think we can go 4-1, right? I think that when you look at that, I think Kansas is the one that's a toss up. With Baylor, we play toe to toe at home. Kansas State, we won at home. Oklahoma State, we won at home. And then Texas Tech, I mean, we were giving them the business at Texas Tech. And I think once you add all of the factors of this offseason plus Marriott Center magic, I find it really difficult that we're not going to go at minimum a 3-2. And so my hope that we'll go 4-1, right? I'm wearing my beautiful BYU navy blue. But I think, you know, if I take a step back and I'm probably thinking we're going to go at minimum a 3-2 at home for just the home games. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I like it. It's minimum 3-2. I think 4-1 is ambitious, but also semi-realistic, because I think you're going to beat Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. I think you beat Kansas State, and then you're going to beat one of two, Baylor or Kansas. To me, Kansas is very improved. Baylor might be more improved than Kansas, in my opinion, based on who they pulled in the portal. But that, just think of those games we have. We were just talking about that. Like, how awesome is this at the Marriott Center? And we haven't even talked about the other five, like Arizona. Those five games are spectacular.
No, and to your point, Jerem, I think all of this, you know, other teams have improved, no doubt. I have a hard time, and playing devil's advocate here, I have a hard time not putting BYU as one of the top five teams in the portal season this year, with Kevin Young, with Yegor, and Elijah, and Keba, and Brody, and I mean, my goodness gracious, it just keeps coming and coming, and then, you know, Chris Burgess, the new assistant coaches and everything. You know, we were I would go as far as to say we were the hottest team in the offseason this year. The only ones that got a couple of wash bombs, that has to put, you know, in a scale as well, right? And so, to your point, you know, looking at also the home and away, right, where we have the series, with those teams, I'm hopeful that we're probably going to go 7-3. But I think, again, realistic is 6-4. Jerem, you just mentioned a point that I think it's very valid here. I think about the West Virginia game last season. I've said that before. That was probably one of the only games in the entire season that Foose was 100% healthy for. And look at the destruction, the amount of effectiveness that man had when we traveled to West Virginia. 24-9. Super efficient on the shooting, dominated. And so I think health is obviously, you know, it's one of those things that we talk about every year. But if this team is healthy, right, it is really difficult to think that we're not going to be this successful. You know, I know that there's a chemistry thing that is going to have to get it done, which why I think at worst, we're probably going to go about an 8-3 in the non-conference schedule, right? We're probably going to add another freebies. You know, maybe one or two, we have seven, but you know, out of the seven, I can't imagine us losing more than two games. I know we have a stretch that we play. I think it's Purdue. And then I think we go to Providence.
NC State or Ole Miss, two of those three in San Diego at Providence as well, December 3rd, that next week. Yeah. So you've highlighted the toughest games by far. So we know 8 of the 11 reported or published. Central Arkansas appears to be the opener on November 5th. Queens on November 13th. Welcome back, Bobby Hordusky. Idaho, November 16th. Two of these three in San Diego, November 28th and 29th. Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss. Two of those three went to the Final Four, by the way. At Providence, December 3rd in the Big 12 Big East Challenge. Florida A&M, December 20th. That could be the final non-conference game. We'll see. At Wyoming. We'll add three more. We don't know who they are. Hopefully they're quad four, super winnable games. But you're right. The Purdue, NC State, Ole Miss, two of those three. And Providence, those are your three toughest non-conference games.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you look at that, you know, you just go and just take the whole thing that on the three games that are to be scheduled are going to be a win, right, that are absolutely going to be a home run. And so maybe if you drop two of those, maybe three, you're sitting at 8-3, you know, on the home and away series, you know, and also on just the away series, I think when you put it all together, I think it's going to be another 20-win season for BYU. You know, I personally think we're probably going to be sitting at about 22 wins, you know, come tournament time before the Big 12 tournament in March.
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. JT, you played against big name teams, specifically in Las Vegas on a neutral site when I believe it was Louisville and North Carolina back to back. Like, those are blue blood opponents, but it's one thing to play them on a neutral site and another to have multiple of those teams in the Marriott Center. I'd give a lot just to have one team in the Marriott Center that is a top 10. BYU has the opportunity to maybe face three or even more. What does this mean for BYU basketball fans? Like, put this in perspective for them.
You know, as I think about this, I think it's one of the reasons why Kevin Young made the jump, right? It's one of the reasons why Kevin Young decided to come to BYU. You know, I think the only game that I wish we could have had at BYU that we couldn't maybe switch the schedule a bit would be Houston. But my goodness gracious, Baylor is a powerhouse. Kansas is a powerhouse. Kansas State is always fighting to, you know, to go the distance. And then Texas Tech, we know how good they were. You know, I think back to what you said about you know, games on neutral courts. The fact that BYU played North Carolina State last year and we kind of dismantled them, like it wasn't really a game. And we were able to win, and that team ended up going to the NCAA tournament. I mean, we know that Kansas was kind of having a bad year, a down year last year, but Bill Self was there along with some McDonald's All-Americans. They had some Burger Boys on the squad, so I don't want to hear about having a down year. And so to have that massive of a win, it's what we were talked about at the roundtable a few weeks ago, Jerem. The Marriott Center magic is real. Kevin Young often talks about when he came to the game that we played against Wake Forest. And I know, Jerem, you were there. I like the comment, by the way, when you guys were ranked the top five international players and you're talking about me and you said, there goes the B-roll. And I was like, I didn't think I was that old. But that atmosphere, Jerem, maybe the Gonzaga wins with Yoli, maybe San Diego State with Jimmer the year after, but there hasn't been a ton of games of that magnitude. But what Kevin Young has built, and to your point, Spencer, playing those level of games in a Marriott Center with the Rock, with the environment, with a fan of family. I kid you not, guys. I don't know if it's the spirit, but I just got goosebumps thinking about how loud it gets.
Oh, man. Seriously. The volume alone, the electricity, just from last year having experienced that, can it go to another level this year? It feels like
yes.
It just might.
Yes, it can, because you've brought in potential NBA guys that we haven't had in a hot minute here, right? We've had NBA talent. We've had international talent for a long time. But we've not had the likes of Yegor Demin in the gym, perhaps since the days of Jimmer and Krešimir Ćosić and Danny Ainge. And I mean, we're talking about he could be one of the greatest BYU basketball players ever. He's coming in with that kind of hype. So it could go up a notch, not to mention Cannon Catchings and the rest of the boys. Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders are like, we're right here. We're the core guys. This group is going to be fun to watch, and we can't wait, man.
And you've been working out with them, JT.
Yeah, tell us how that's going. Who sticks out? What's going on?
I think what sticks out is just how hard these guys go. You know, I think that a lot has changed in the way that you approach basketball, you know. Back when I was doing things, I just wanted to get, 1,000 shots made and a ton of repetition and so on. But what's cool about it is I'm going there and I'm saying, guys, let's do about an hour and a half tops, maybe an hour and 15. And let's just get game rhythm shots where we can go and we can do things exactly how Kevin is going to run during the season and be effective that way. The coolest thing for me is to see, guys that I'm very close with, like Trevin and Brody, and then see, Dallin and Elijah, and see all of these dudes just going at it and just sweating and just being dripped in sweat. And just the effort that they're putting in and out and time again, it is unbelievable. I'm grateful to just be able to do that, not being a part of the staff. I can kind of do whatever the heck I want. There's no limitations on that. I do find it funny that some guys are making, six figures in NIL, but they have to go to class to be eligible, and they can only work out with coaches for an hour a day. And so it's, God bless the NCAA because they sure need it. But it's been great. And the commitment of them, obviously this started a while ago with Zach Salius and just communicating with him. And then, Trav came around. Travin has been around the block for a minute. And so with Trevin, in my relationship with him, obviously I was at BYU with Kristen, and then I've always felt that Brody and I have a very similar game, except he's taller and, he's much more athletic than I was, but, the high shooting and playing the 3 and 4, being able to catch and shoot and turn around 1-2 dribbles and bang. And so, kind of creating a relationship with him and working with him on a lot of different things to improve, sharing my expertise and experience. I feel like that's what an alumni should do. That's what the BYU network and the BYU Hoops family should be, And you see it with, Travis Hansen, being there with Yegor and Kyle Collinsworth, talking in Russian and all of these other things. And that's when I imagined, when I dreamed about coming to BYU, and obviously, I had really good success, my teams and individually, and being able to kind of share that with the next generation. I feel it's a huge blessing that to be a part of that.
JT, always great to catch up with you, man. And you were the perfect guest for the schedule matrix. 14-6 would be something, brother.
Woo! I like it.
We'll keep wearing those blue goggles. Thanks, JT.
Appreciate you guys. Mi hermano, un abrazo.
Abrazo.
Jonathan Tavernari on BYU Sports Nation.
Hey, I'll take 14-6, bro. I would love that.
I'll take 10-10. I want 11-9, though. I want 11-9.
You know what I've started looking at is what the 4-5 seeds from last year looked like in terms of overall record and net. That's my target for BYU. It's like, can BYU be a 4 or 5 seed? And then,
well, they would have been, but no Sunday play.
Yeah. So start playing on Sunday. Nope. You can catch on-demand content, games, archive shows, a lot of Spencer Linton on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Up next, your first look at the BYU Women's Hoops Big 12 schedule matrix, plus which coach recently left Amber Whiting's staff for an arch nemesis. This is BYUSN.
What?
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Yo! Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headlines.
The Big 12, or so it's still called, announces its scheduling matrix for both the men and women's basketball seasons. We begin with the men. Arizona State, Cincinnati, Utah, West Virginia, home and road games. There's 10 of your 20. Home only, Baylor, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Road only, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, TCU, and UCF.
Okay. It's the All-State Conference, right, at some point.
That's what it sounds like.
And the jingle will be, you're in good hands with Big 12.
Oh, my gosh.
The BYU Women's Schedule Matrix also released. Here is who BYU Women's Hoops will play home and road. Include Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. Regional ties, that makes a lot of sense. You
Again,
play two games against
no
those.
Colorado.
Just home, Colorado, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Houston, UCF. This is a favorable home schedule for BYU. They can win a lot of games at home. On the road, gets tougher. At Baylor, Cincinnati, at Iowa State, yikes, at TCU, excuse me, at Texas Tech, and at West Virginia. So Baylor, West Virginia, and Iowa State were all NCAA tournament single-digit seed teams, and you only play them once, and it's all on the road. That's really tough.
Okay. Men's basketball hires Jordan Brady as the director of player development. He has experience as a G League head coach, assistant. He has experience as a head coach in Hong Kong as well. He played at Salt Lake Community College in Utah Valley. Born in Salt Lake, but raised in Vernal, served a mission in the Philippines. Welcome to Jordan Brady on the staff.
I don't like this trend from BYU women's basketball because former BYU coaches are ending up at Utah. And most recently, it's assistant coach Morgan Bailey, who has taken an assistant coaching job with Lynn Roberts at Utah. Bailey, on staff at BYU since 2022, played at BYU from 2010 to 2015, former West Coast Conference Player of the Year. More on this in the whip around.
Was this all a trade for Burgess? Track and field has multiple runners competing this weekend to try to qualify for the Olympic Games. Tonight, Lexi Halliday, Lowry, and Courtney Wayman compete in the steeplechase finals. This is a steeplechase school. Let's go. Five other athletes will compete in qualifying rounds today and tomorrow. Sebastian Fernandez in the 800, Riley Chamberlain in the 1500, Casey Klinger in the 5K, Dallin Schertz in the discus, and Alyssa Keller in the javelin. And Saturday, we talked to him yesterday. James Corrigan will race at Penn University to try and hit the Olympic standard of 8:15 in the steeplechase. If he does, he qualifies for the Olympics.
BYU's already got 5 former Cougars qualified for the Olympics. It could be 7 or 8 by the end of the weekend.
It'd be incredible.
Oh, man.
Let's do it.
Good luck to all the runners. The final standings for the Learfield Directors Cup, which measures an entire athletic department's overall status against everyone else in the country.
Well, the NCAA sports.
Yes. Those were released yesterday. BYU finished 36th. That's a really good number in the Cougars' first year of the Big 12, which was good for 5th best among all Big 12 programs, 5th out of 14. Big 12 foe Texas took first overall this year.
Daniel Schneeman hit cleanup yesterday, played right field for the Guardians, going 1-for-4 in a 4-2 loss to the Orioles. ESPN MLB writer Bradford Doolittle made a list of the MLB midseason awards, has Daniel Schneeman as the 9th best AL rookie so far this year. After playing in only 18 games, he's had that kind of impact.
He's number one in former Batcats in the Major League race, that's for sure. Good luck to BYU golfer Cooper Jones, who begins play at the Memorial Health Championship in Springfield, Illinois today on the Corn Ferry Tour. Back-to-back Corn Ferry events for him. And good luck to Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne, who tee off today at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, Michigan on the PGA Tour.
Women's volleyball coach Heather Olmstead and former men's volleyball player and assistant coach Jalen Reyes are assistant coaches with the USA U21 volleyball team, who beat Suriname in three sets at the U21 Continental Championships in Toronto. U.S. plays Puerto Rico in about 45 minutes. A win would send the U.S. to the semifinals.
It's June 27th. So much for being slow.
Yeah.
BYU gymnast Eliza Millar Crossman named yesterday as the 2024 Big 12 Gymnastics Scholar Athlete of the Year. She earned high scores of 9.9 on the beam and floor this season while holding a 3.98 GPA and majoring in neuroscience.
That's a very academically inclined.
Whoa.
And BYU Swim and Dive announced the passing of pioneer and former head coach Walt Cryer, who passed away on June 20th. He led the Cougars men's program from 1964 to 1972. He went on to earn a PhD from BYU in education, taught many courses from 1975 to 1994 in Provo. As a student, Cryer was an outstanding gymnast at Illinois, where he was part of the 1950 National Championship team. He joined the church in 1959 while living in Illinois, and later served a senior mission with his wife to Albania. Walt Cryer was 95.
We send our collective love from BYU Sports Nation to the Cryer family. Those are your headlines. Now we whip it. The Cougar Whip Round, presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
You mentioned some of this already, but what stands out about the women's basketball scheduling matrix?
Just like the home slate, I think BYU, one, they're going to win more Big 12 games than they did last year. It was 6-12 last year. The home schedule should help with that for sure. But the road schedule is tough. Only being able to play, like, not getting Baylor or Iowa State at home, that stinks. Like,
Baylor was your best win last year.
Yes.
Yeah, at home.
So I'd like another shot at both those teams in Provo. You don't get either of them in Provo.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next. Morgan Bailey, speaking of BYU women's basketball, takes an assistant coaching job at Utah. How do you feel about this?
She played for Juddy. Juddy's up there. I understand that. Utah's in a great space as a program right now. But it is always weird to see someone flip allegiances in the rivalry. But was all of this, as I mentioned, it was a big picture ploy to get Chris Burgess? Like, I'm not sure. It is a loss, though, and it was surprising to me that Morgan took this job.
Yeah, she's a great coach. Probably understated.
I'm assuming she got offered more cash.
Well, Utah's in position to do that because they have been so good consistently for the last 3 or 4 years. Lynn Roberts has an amazing program.
BYU building, and hopefully we'll get to that space in the next couple of years. They've got the talent in the gym to get to that.
Hey, BYU gets Utah at home this year.
Twice, right?
Yeah.
At home.
Saying, like, they get them at home this year.
And they should play twice forever.
Now they really played in Salt Lake last year, but they weren't in the same conference.
Yep.
Now same conference.
Now they can play twice.
This might go back to the Kalani Sitake deal. Like, you broke down the BYU-Baylor trade tie over.
You should
do it with Utah dating back to, like, Kalani Sitake.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts.
Granted, he went somewhere else before he came to BYU. He's at Oregon State.
Real quick, Lavelle Edwards has the greatest degree of this because he got his undergrad at Utah State where he played. He got his master's from BYU. And then he actually got a doctorate at Utah. Fun fact. A lot of people know that.
There you go. Utah fans love Lavelle.
Brian Logan, that edumacation.
Up next, our best BYU quarterback championship featuring Ty Detmer and who else?
Ooh, we're down to it.
Will it be Steve Young or Jim McMahon? Find out next. This is BYU SN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
When he hit my senior year, I was ready to go.
Winner of the 1990 Heisman Award, Ty Detmer.
I could throw it anywhere, any place.
Ty Detmer.
Then showed why he's an All-American. He wanted to get in that goal line, and he was not going to let anyone stop him.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. You know what time it is. It's the best BYU quarterback bracket. We are down to just three remaining, and it's about to be two. During the month of June, we're counting down to number one with the help of your votes.
The second semifinal yesterday featured Steve Young and Jim McMahon. And with 69% of the vote, Steve Young moves on. It was about 51-49, Steve, on Twitter. It was Instagram that was overwhelmingly Steve.
Wow.
So we're down to the championship game with the biggest face mask you've ever seen in your life. Ty Detmer taking on Steve Young. Let's remind you about Ty. Overall, number one seed here because he won the Heisman Trophy, played from 87 to 91 at BYU, over 15,000 passing yards, 121 touchdowns, 29 wins as a starter, beat number one Miami, broke 59 NCAA records, still 7th in career passing yards and 10th in touchdowns in BYU history. People love the Tiesman, and I do too.
You know what Ty Detmer never did? He never had a one-loss season at BYU. And that's where Steve Young picks up.
Oh, my.
Steve Young led BYU to an 11-1 season in 1983 and at the time the Cougars' highest final AP ranking of number 7. Young passed for over 7,700 yards, 65-plus percent completion percentage, 83, finished second in the Heisman voting, and, of course, was an All-American College Football Hall of Famer as well. Who wins the best quarterback bracket?
The day Ty wins the Heisman, walking into the Hawaii game, they have one loss. They lose to Hawaii. They lose the bowl game to Texas A&M. They're a three-loss team. It was awesome to win the Heisman, but they really kind of tanked out at the end. They were close to that.
I know.
Steve's 83 is really impressive, and his pro football career really weighs into this, I think. This is going to be interesting. I legitimately do not know who's going to win this because people, these are two of the most endeared quarterbacks in BYU history. I would say Ty, Steve, and Jimmer are the most three beloved athletes in BYU sports history.
Yes.
I think it's
Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge is right there too. There's your top four. That would be a fun bracket.
Okay.
Now that, maybe that's next summer.
The most beloved BYU athlete.
Most beloved, the GOAT of any sport, huh? Our producer Golden Potter.
Woo. All right.
Thinking about that this morning.
Writing down the idea.
Next June, what are we doing?
He's also telling us to go to break.
He's also.
So we're going to
do it. Shut up.
Still on the way. Vote in the bracket, okay? Vote! Steve or Ty, you got to make a choice.
Instagram.
We've already figured out the top five home games we're most excited to watch for BYU men's basketball next season.
We already know.
And we're going to show you next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Hi, the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It's time for Top 5 Tuesday on a Thursday, because that's how it shakes out sometimes. The top five games we're most excited to watch from the new Big 12 BYU men's basketball schedule matrix.
We chose all home games. Number 5, Cincinnati at home. Okay, revenge game for what happened last year, January 6th, the 71-60 Big 12 opening loss. Trevin Nell's going to make 10 threes in this game after making 9 last year.
Okay. Number 4. Texas Tech at home as the revenge tour continues. BYU lost twice to the Red Raiders in Lubbock after leading by 18 at halftime, or as many as 18 in the first half.
17.
17 in the first half, okay? Yep. Then kind of got blown out in the Big 12 tournament. No Pop Isaacs for Texas Tech this season. That's good things for BYU.
He's at Creighton. Dallin Hall is not. Number 3, Baylor at home. BYU won in Provo, lost in Waco last year. That was a good little rivalry there. Caleb Loner, the whole thing. Caleb now at Utah, going to play football too. Bears are going to be really good this year. Probably a preseason projected top 10 team. By the way, two first-round picks last night from Baylor. Jacoby Walter and Eve Misi at 19 and 21. They were very talented.
Good to be Scott Drew and Baylor. Arizona, number 2. Another projected top 10 team at home for BYU. The Cougars haven't taken on Arizona since 2010 when Jimmer Fredette led the Cougars to a 22-point win in Salt Lake City at the home of the Jazz.
That was
he
a fun game.
He scored 33 in the game. You sidelined that game. Last meeting in the Marriott Center all the way back in 1998.
Those are coming off the national championship, I think, for Arizona, right? And number 1, Kansas at home. The only other meeting in Provo was in the Smithfield House with Kansas in 1960. You remember it, 22 points from Dave Eastus. Big win last year in Lawrence, of course, on February 27th.
Top 5 Thursday presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org. Our question of the day, what's the best thing about the BYU men's basketball Big 12 schedule? Our elite voice today presented by PAX. Healthcare Elevated comes in from Cougar Bell on X, who says, not having to watch the Baylor game with that awful camera angle.
You get it.
No road game at Baylor. Rise of Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
So all the runners from BYU currently or professionally trying to make the Olympics, best of luck to everybody.
Can't wait to watch this weekend. And a farewell of sorts to you.
Yeah. I'm going to take paternity leave starting in about a week. Next week will be vacation. Used to be 5 days, Spence. Now it's 6 weeks. I'm going to take all of that. So, yeah, we're expecting our third kid, a little girl, on probably July 8th. So I'll be back around August 19th in the middle of fall camp. And so I'll miss everybody, but I'll still be on social hanging out. And we'll see you in August.
Okay, so long to Jerem from June 27th until roughly August 19th. Enjoy the time off.
Thanks,
congratulations
man.
To you and Whitney. Super exciting
time.
Thank
you so much.
Super exciting time. Our thanks to today's guest, Jonathan Tavernari.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Travis Hansen. He doesn't get enough credit, Jerem.
He gets a lot of credit, but we can give him some more.
For Jerem again, I'm Spencer. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy a recorded special tomorrow. Go Cougs.